This is Fred Clayson, and you'll listen to Sense Call Outs.
From Studio 65 in a hot, muggy, but obviously boring nation's capital, welcome to Season 5, Episode 21 of the Sense Call Outs for... what day is today? I don't even know what day today is.
May the 18th. Thursday.
Thursday. Thank you. Thursday, May 18th. That's how bad my week is I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore. I'm Cardinal. Canuck and Panner here as well. The Eastern Conference Championship is underway. And it's not going the way that at least two of us thought it was going to go.
I just like to say that.
You knew it was going to go exactly like this.
What did I call it as?
I just like to say that.
First, you said I don't do predictions.
I don't like doing predictions.
I think correct. I was bang on. I think I called it 2-1 Ottawa lead by the time we... Three games in, I figured we'd be ahead, right? Right?
Not so much. Oh. Not so much in terms of...
What did I say?
You said Pens in four.
Pens in four.
You know what? That's just my thing.
What did I say? Six.
You said Pens in three.
No, I didn't.
I think I said Pens.
Oh, you
said
Pens in three. Okay. I mean, one of you did. I said Sens in six.
I think it's a defense mechanism.
Seven. No, I said six, I believe.
I would love five right now.
I believe I said six.
It's money well spent if it's five.
Well, it may be money
I
well
spent. Burned another $2,000.
It may be money well spent, but it's also life endangered.
What?
Should be okay.
Just saying. It's not Philly. I understand that, but there you go. Anyway, how do you like the weather?
Great.
It's lovely.
It's wonderful.
It was wonderful sitting out last night. I mean, everyone was complaining about the humidity and the heat, and I was going, it's beautiful. Okay, so it's 28 degrees with a humidex of 35. So what? It's beautiful. Today, really windy because there's a severe thunderstorm warning.
Yeah.
And it's going down to 8 tonight.
It's been a nice treat.
That's okay.
Yeah. No, but if we're going from 30 to 8, it explains the wind outside, but it also explains there's definitely a cold front approaching, so it could get really interesting tonight. So something to look forward to. Other than that, we were here when did we record last? Last Friday. So it's been a week.
Before
this series started. It's been a week, which for us these days is actually a long time compared to during the regular season.
It's been a
season.
Week already?
Yeah, we recorded last Friday.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's I guess we're a couple days off.
I couldn't remember what day today was because I have... Well, I've just had work days. I don't know what the day of the week is. So it was a week ago. So we're three games in. And we're three games in, yeah. Things are going
exactly as predicted and expected.
Beyond anybody's wildest dreams, I would think.
Yep. Yeah.
Except period number three of game number two. We'll talk about that in a bit. That's the only exception to that particular rule. 8 out of 9 periods I've been very happy with. So there we are.
That's what she said.
Easy now.
Got that from the radio anyway.
Wow. Anything you wanted to add before we get going?
I just have housekeeping contacts. Well,
I was going to do housekeeping, but I was wondering if there's anything else you wanted to add first.
Not really. This is all I do.
All right. Well, housekeeping. Email at podcast@senscollapse.com. I know we're recording a lot these days, so I don't know whether people aren't finding them interesting or there's just nothing to talk about.
They're boring.
Maybe that's it. We're just as boring as games at the Canadian Tire Center. Maybe that's what it is.
Tenants
so we need to spice things up. Canuck, you suck. There you go. That's all I got. I got nothing. I'm too Canadian.
I find your taunt boring.
I find your lack of taunt disturbing. All right. podcast@senscollapse.com. We have a couple of emails to read today. There's always the forums at sensecollapse.com. There's ongoing game threads and a few other things there. You can call the waiver wire at 1-844-SCU-6565. You can follow us on Twitter. Let's go.
Game on!
Ah.
Just before we start, I just opened a beer and funny story. Last night, I was sitting out on a friend's front porch in a quiet neighborhood. Reached over, opened a can, and I hear this voice from three houses away on the other side of the street. That sounds like a great idea. It was one of those moments where that's just perfect. You know. Anywho, we have three games to talk about. Game number one, game summary. Over to you. As I look over.
Okay, you guys really.
You know what? I think before this game started.
Okay, you want to talk? No.
Like my first thought was, just don't get embarrassed.
Yeah.
Don't get embarrassed, guys.
That was my key of this whole series.
I really thought that it was going to be the Pittsburgh show.
Like, they destroyed Columbus.
In six? Was it five? I thought it was six. Five. Okay.
They picked them up.
They just have extra gears that they can turn on.
They're a team of champions.
Right.
They've done it already. They know how to do it.
So, here we go. Game one.
In Pittsburgh.
And that, you know, by the way, I think that's a pretty tough place to play. The fans and that team, I don't know. I think they can get under your skin.
Well, you see, I've actually been reading quite a lot of commentary ahead of the game last night in Ottawa. I was reading a lot of commentary from various and sundry sources that they found Pittsburgh actually rather quiet.
Well, have been a result of what happened.
But even before the game started, even before game one started, there wasn't as much noise and energy in Pittsburgh. I mean, the series is 0-0.
I get understood. Remember what I said about the Sens in the regular season?
They're saving it.
Well,
we're saving it. You set your expectation. Yeah. Where's the bar set?
Well, you're in the Final Four.
That's not what the objective was.
Then you as a fan need to reevaluate.
No, it's when you're one of the top teams, you have your expectation.
Jersey did this back in their days when they...
True.
I don't know. Round one, round two, especially about round three people.
Detroit and St. Louis was another one, right? Because they made the playoffs 30 years in a row or something like that.
But still, you're in them. You're in them.
You're probably expecting to just walk over the Sens anyway.
I think they definitely took the Sens for granted in game one.
Well, I'm talking fans, I'm talking about the fans' reaction, not the team's reaction.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I think
too.
The fans did too.
They're just like, well, we're here, and it's there. What did the writer say? It was something like, rose petal path.
The Washington writer kind of said,
strewn with rose petals. Yeah.
Yeah. They're just expecting to walk right through this.
Or the Edmonton writer just said it was can't be Canada's team because they're boring.
Yeah.
Just wait until McDavid comes back next year. Then you'll see something.
Shea Carter, boy.
Hey,
Simpsons reference.
Oh
boy, did that ever sour for me?
What?
That article.
Which one? The Edmonton one.
The Edmonton one.
It soured your experience.
Well, it soured my relationship with the Oilers.
Well.
Because remember, we were fine with, like, you know what? Ottawa-Edmonton would be great.
It's a writer. It's not the team.
Well,
the fans are coming out of the woodwork now, and they're chirping the Sens fans, but we'll get to that. Let's just get to the game.
There's something else that I would take about Pittsburgh fans chirping the Senators about not being able to sell out the round two game.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
We'll get to attendance soon. Let's get the game.
Okay.
Just remember that the lottery saved your franchise because no one was going to the games.
Yep.
Lottery shenanigans.
Yeah, really wish that you guys would have also told me that I was doing the game recaps, but hey.
You always do.
Well, it just.
We haven't done them in 3 years.
Well, I can tell you what happened. We started off beautiful defensive display and Pageau. On a pass from Bobby Ryan.
Pass.
Was an exact duplicate of that set play that happened in New York to go up 1-0, and that stunned them.
That was
like how about halfway through the first period, and then
you
got to wonder, okay, are they going to just sit on this lead and try to hold it the whole time? And they're going to try.
It's not really sitting on the lead, though, because I think we learned that in the first game of the playoffs.
It's not sitting
on
the lead.
They're still pressuring when they need to.
But it's just... They're going to err on the side of taking the defensive play.
Right.
Right.
And they know they have strong defense, so play defensively, wait for your opportunity, capitalize on it.
Mm-hmm. It's worked.
You've got the lead, and you have...
Yeah, and you've got the lead.
Maybe, just maybe, you defend against one of the top teams in the league.
Mm.
Right.
Rather than trying to go run and gun with them. Like, right, we'll counter your offense with our offense.
It's not fair.
That's what we did with Dave Cameron.
Why well, won't that's you what let Washington them play?
Did. That's what Washington did.
Washington came out real flat.
Well,
they were
in game
flat
seven.
In game seven.
No, but I mean, that's what they were trying to do overall. That's what Columbus was trying to do overall because they've been an offensive minded team.
Yeah.
So, how'd that work for you?
When has running and gunning with Pittsburgh Penguins ever worked for us?
About 7 years or 7 or 8 years ago when we met them in the playoffs when Sidney Crosby was a rookie. It worked briefly.
Well, exactly.
Momentarily, once.
Pittsburgh tied it up, I believe, late in the third, right?
Late in the third, yep. 14-25.
And that kind of felt like,
we're done now.
Uh-oh, this could be it, right?
Series.
You said the text series. I knew what you're doing.
I was just waiting.
The crowd was very, very quiet up to that point, too, because we knocked frustrated. Them right out. Yeah, they were frustrated.
They're not accustomed to losing.
Not accustomed to being
behind on the scoreboard.
Let alone zero there. Goes to overtime, and I think we've all seen the highlight probably about 70 times each. Bobby Ryan beats out, who's the defenseman there that's supposed to be fast?
Olli Mata.
Mata.
Yeah. Did you see my Olli sad today?
I did see that.
Yeah. No, I wasn't on Twitter today.
I enjoyed that one.
Bobby freaking Ryan. We win game one.
Inconceivable.
Bobby Ryan on a breakaway.
On a breakaway he created.
That he created. By battling for it. Also, Crosby was on for this, just letting you know.
Yeah.
As was Phil
Kessel. Oh, yeah, because you go back and you watch the Star Cam, and the Star Cam is always focused on Eric Karlsson last series. This series is focused on Sydney.
Of course, because it's Canada's team.
And this is Sportsnet's Star Scam. Star Cam.
Star Scam. That's
Star Scam.
That's a well played one by you there.
And you just see him skate back and then look skyward as they score.
Oh, well. That was May 13th, by the way.
Fantastic.
Phil Kessel was on the ice for that goal against. And if you think back 4 years earlier on May 13th,
mm-hmm.
Phil Kessel was on the ice for another overtime goal. Boston, who were down 4-1 with 9 minutes and 52 seconds or 53 seconds left in the game, scored three in 9 minutes and 52 seconds to make it to overtime and then win in overtime. And who was on the ice for the overtime goal? Yeah, Phil Kessel. I laughed. I think it was Capital Gains came up with those two pictures and put them side by side. Yeah. I was like, oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
That's just brilliant.
Kessel, I don't really care.
So immediately we got the split. Exactly. Immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Inconceivable.
So now you're playing with house money going into game two, and we scored no goals. However.
The key to this series is Kessel and Malkin's reactions, because I've never seen either one of them.
They were losing their crap on the bench.
I've never seen either one of them do that.
Yeah, they were losing.
Ever. Losing it,
and then Kessel scores. Unfortunately, but it's still good.
It was off the scoreboard.
It was a fluky rebound that went right past. I mean, Pajot blocked the shot brilliantly, but the rebound went straight back to Kessel. And Craig Anderson said the next day, "I had that shot, but I lost an edge and I couldn't get over." Yep. That's why he was so upset with himself. He's like,
"Hockey's,
I had it.
Yeah.
I had
a game of mistakes."
And I mean, if a forward or a defenseman loses an edge, they get up, play goes on. I lose an edge, it's in the net.
Yep,
it's true.
And you brought it up early already, talking about this period. Probably the most disappointing period for Ottawa Senators was that third period of the second game. They were playing afraid to lose, and they just applied no pressure at all.
I think it was bad ice.
Until it was too late.
They were playing a lot of defense, but their defense didn't involve anything other than chip it out to the neutral zone. Get it out
because
to the neutral zone.
I think the ice was really bad. Because both teams couldn't pass for hell. It's just that Pittsburgh had the zone, so they were able to work the perimeter and eat up all the time.
It looked bad.
Until Pittsburgh scored, and then Ottawa suddenly, to score.
Well, you win the cup of faceoffs, and then you're in the zone, right?
But
there's a couple minutes left.
It seemed like they turned on the
Jets.
They
suddenly went, okay, we got to play some offense here, not just defense. Yeah,
I don't know.
It may have been partly bad ice, but
it was a disappointing period.
Because they were trying to chip it out to each other and they would miss passes.
But you know what?
Then chip it out, you know, or carry it out and then chip it into the corner and go after it. Yeah. And they never did that.
Yeah. No, they were sitting back.
But with that, because
you don't sit,
yeah. Brendan Russ, you shouldn't.
Not with a 0-0 game.
And not against Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah. Bring this up.
Brendan Rust out.
That was a monster hit by Phaneuf.
Was it ever?
I love
Phaneuf
it.
Phaneuf went in
the solo double Dion.
This was the Dion Phaneuf we've all been expecting to see and haven't really seen in the first two rounds. Like, oh.
I don't even know if Toronto saw this Dion Phaneuf.
No,
but actually there was commentary on that, which I can get into later if you want.
No, you can bring it up now.
Okay. There was commentary on that today that the reason that you didn't see that when he was in Toronto was because in Toronto he was expected to score. He had a 20-plus goal season in Calgary, and that's what they were expecting him to do in Toronto.
Oh.
Be a leader, in air quotes, be a leader, wear the C. You can be kind of difficult to play against, but you're supposed to be a puck-moving defenseman to get us points.
Wow.
And you're the captain. So there you go. You're not there to punish people. You're not there to be prickly, ornery, big hit guy. So he's been able to revert to the character that he apparently likes to play, because you can see the look on his face when he delivers these. He's got like a little grin on the end.
In fact, at one point he delivered a hit on the blue line and you just sat there and appreciated it. I'm like, Crosby's right behind you, stop looking.
Stop admiring your work.
He really did admire it.
But and then he delivered one to Kessel in game three, which was funny.
He was all over Kessel.
Yeah, and they're really good friends too, just off the ice.
Yeah.
No friends on the ice.
This is something else to watch.
That hit on Rust was
huge.
Telling.
And he's out.
And he's looks concussed.
Hoffman he ended up pushing Justin Schultz.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, Justin Schultz was trying to hit him.
Yeah. But he missed him, pushed him, which was somewhat an interference, and then landed into the boards, and he's been out for.
Yeah,
he left that game, didn't come back.
Drooping shoulder left that game.
Yeah.
When he skated off.
Yeah, that's not nice.
That's not nice.
Not nice at all.
I can imagine what that means.
So we lost game two, and it was disappointing. It really was, because it felt like it was there.
Well, there was...
For the taking.
It was a close game.
It was a coin flip. We lost the coin flip. We played a little bit timid leading up to that.
But the first two periods were very entertaining. Like 0-0 hockey, but it was good hockey.
You know why we lost that game?
Because we didn't score.
Because Kessel scored.
Last change.
Yeah, well, that too.
Maybe, yeah. But you know what? We came home from Pittsburgh. We kept them
with a split.
Two goals in two games against the most highly offensive team in the regular season and playoffs so far. Holy crap.
Not bad.
I feel pretty good.
Not bad.
Mm-hmm. I think I even texted you. Like, you know what? I feel pretty good about this. Not just because I got the split. I know it's tough going off a loss, but man, we held them to one goal. That shows that we can contain these guys.
Losing 1-0, it's not that bad of a loss.
Right.
It hurts, but it's not that bad of a loss. Or 2-1 or something
losing
like that.
Losing 6-4 would be more deflating.
Yeah. Because, we scored 4. We should have done something, but we got hammered by 6. Exactly. 1-0, it's a loss, but it's not a stinger.
Even if it's 6-4, I'd have to look at the quality of the goals.
True.
All right, so home. We're home.
We're home.
Game 3.
Building sold out.
See?
No. Roenick said it wasn't.
No. Building sold out. Granted, I know that he's played the game. Last time that I remember Jeremy Roenick complaining about how Ottawa didn't sell out seats was in 2002 when he was with Philadelphia. And then he ended up missing the games too because Chris Phillips knocked him right the hell out.
I don't remember this.
Just... Roenick.
Well, do you know what we're referring to?
Yes, Jamie, you're the
Sports
best.
Nest had a phone interview with Roenick, and Roenick was saying, shame on Ottawa fans for not selling out this game, the Eastern Conference Final. It was sold out.
Don't. Alternative facts. Hello.
Like fake
that's an alternative fact.
He was fed misinformation.
And I think I know what it might be.
He just has alternative facts. That's all.
That was the largest turnout in Sens history ever, period. No, that's
no, because the building doesn't seat as many as it used to.
Actually, and on to that point, I think that's what's going on, because I got some numbers here. The current capacity is 18,572.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be, before Club Bell and Fan Deck, 19,152. So I think they went and they looked and they saw a number that had 18 in front of it. They thought, well, that's sold out.
Well, they also used to cram over 20 in for some games. They oversell suites and that sort
and
of thing.
They're doing that
cram
now,
people,
too.
Cram people. So
you watch it tomorrow night. Yeah. That place is going to be bursting at the seams.
Yeah, no, game six was sold. Game six pretty much sold pretty quick.
And you're comparing weekdays games. No, everybody's going back to that Tuesday game.
It was a Thursday game. Thursday game at 7 with a 3-day notice.
Yeah.
And we were in at the open house on Monday and talked to some of the staff there. And even they complained it was too short notice on a weeknight at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 7 o'clock is ridiculous, number one.
People working at 5 o'clock downtown. Got to get home. It's impossible. Got to get the kids or something.
Yeah,
you can't get there.
You can't even, I mean, even if I couldn't get home and then out there by 7. And I don't have any of the kids involved.
If you can't get there to 8 o'clock, are you going to really want to bother to buy an expensive ticket?
Yeah.
And the place wasn't sold out per se, but it was pretty damn full anyway.
That's why 7:30 is the perfect compromise.
That Thursday night game, it was still fine. It was still fine.
2,000 seats, not the end of the world.
Let's go. Game three.
That was so loud.
Boring game. Oh, yeah, this team plays so boring.
This was after the game after that.
I blame friggin' Eugene Melnyk on this for going on to Toronto Radio and saying, yeah, we do play a boring game.
Yep.
But it's been said long before that.
Right.
Long before that. But
when the owner admits to it.
That doesn't spread the
they're
case.
They're going to. Yeah, it does.
No.
That piles
on. It fans the flames.
Because then that allows Sportsnet to use that.
But it's not Sportsnet by themselves. It's all the sports media that are saying it. So saying, well, the owner of the team said it, therefore it must be true and let's make this gospel. No, right. It's a long-held belief all season because it's not the same hockey as last year. It's tightly disciplined. It's organized. It's not back and forth.
They're trying to compare it to the New Jersey Trap.
But it's not.
It's not because that was the clutch and grab era. They changed the rules of the game to get rid of that.
And
but we're still getting 25, 30 shots a game.
And 1-3-1 means there's only one defenseman because there's a defenseman coming up.
It's a pressure defense. It means you're taking one defense. There's normally two back. You're taking one of them that's normally going to stay back with the other guy and pushing him up. You're clogging the neutral zone. You're doing like
it's a short-term clog of the neutral zone.
Right.
Yeah.
Picture you're playing air hockey, and this is how I play. You know, if you're playing air hockey, you can stay back
with your elbow down on the table and blocking the whole
thing. You could do that. That would be cheating. But, you know, you keep your hand back. I don't. I go up and I play offense. I take the puck up and I actually kind of play up near the little blue line.
And you drop your elbow near your goal so you can't get any rebounds.
You can do that. That's the Sidney Crosby face-off move.
Exactly.
God, I love that.
Turris figured him out in game one.
No, that was coaching. I don't know who figured that out on the face-offs.
Turris looked like Bergeron.
Are you watching the games or are you listening to the
games? Well, it depends on the game.
Okay. Because on the face-offs, and they always put Turris and Pageau up against Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
You got a right-hand shot versus a left-hand shot.
Okay.
He's got this.
And so what they end up doing is as the puck comes down, because they're 6:30 down, they will rotate counterclockwise and shove their foot right where his stick is, where Crosby's stick is.
So he can't pull it to his power move. He
cannot do anything.
And in fact, one time he got so frustrated at the faceoff, he hit it so hard, he actually iced the puck, I think.
Yeah.
almost iced it. But
I can't remember which.
Yes.
Oh, okay. It is, because the stick is down. Puck gets dropped and
it's
then
in play.
Okay, it's not the drop of the shoulder to lock somebody
in. International rules, I don't think would be allowed. Well, you're not allowed to kick the puck. They're not kicking the puck.
Expect a rule change next season for this to allow Sydney to win more faceoffs.
I was surprised after the first game that they didn't start throwing them out.
But. Well, then I was going to say then the opposing forward just has to pull in again Evgeny Malkin and start cross-checking the player, Sidney Crosby, in the visor.
So we can go back. I think that was the end of game.
That was game three. Game two.
Game two?
No.
The reason that, I think so. The reason that Malkin was doing, one, he was just fed up with Turris. Because
Turris was owning him in the face-off, Dot.
No, they've been after him all game. Even last game I saw, Pageau would slash him three times, not anywhere close to the play. And Malkin would just swipe at him hard once.
So, suck it up.
Well, that's the whole thing, right?
But in a face-off.
So at the end of game two, when Malkin went and he just kind of forced his way forward on Turris, that was his frustration in regards to what they have been doing to Crosby. Because they're taking body position. So he decided, well, you know, game's over. I'm just going to force it onto you and just relieve whatever pressure that he's had.
With a cross check to the face.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the
world. Well, you notice that Crosby usually Mark allows Mathot, one
Dion Phaneuf never do that.
There's a there's a difference between in-game and before the game or after or start of a whistle.
Nah, it's fine.
You notice Crosby gets so one
when
whack.
So when somebody does that and actually hurts an Ottawa Senator, it's still okay.
Alex Burrows doesn't do that?
Between, during gameplay or before?
In the face-off dots? None of them ever get into stick fights.
Oh, there's a stick fight, like stick versus something cross-checked to somebody's face in front of the linesman three times.
They're doing it all the time.
Well, that's kind of my point.
And Ottawa's doing it too.
Ottawa does it too.
I haven't seen one to the face.
Not like that. I've stepped that's to his my visor, point. But
that's on the referee. It's not on the player.
Hey, Malkin got thrown out last game.
Oh, he got a 10-minute misconduct with 90 seconds left in the game. Boo-hoo-hoo.
Who won? What was the score?
That's not the point.
What? Yes, it is. What was the score?
That means the refs.
So if Ottawa lost,
the point is no. If Ottawa lost, he probably wouldn't have done that. But I forgot my point.
We won.
Exactly.
We won.
Yes.
He's setting the tone for the rest for the next game.
So I think we all agree.
The same way that Bobby Ryan tried to fight Dan Girardi didn't drop his gloves. In whatever game that was. Game 4, I guess?
Yeah.
What? No, that's not true.
Anyway, game we just three, finished two games, which are tight checking. Ottawa didn't have any pressure. We're going to game 3, and I think we all agreed that, look, they just need to bring some more pressure, and I think they're going to be good. So, Pittsburgh's been weak on D. They're missing Letang. They're missing Schultz.
Yeah. They add another guy.
Yeah, they added another
guy. Mark
Now, so we can't beat them with 5 defensemen. Now they get 7.
They have 7.
Mark Stride is still in the NHL?
Most of the season he was in the AHL.
Was he? Okay, because I didn't know that he was 1 in the NHL and 2 with Pittsburgh.
He was in the AHL for
most of
the
season. I had no clue.
So they brought him in and Trevor Daley. So Trevor Daley plays the regular minutes and he would play the power play one.
Trevor Daley's probably still hurt.
Yeah, that's why they needed a 7th to take some of his minutes away, most of which were power play. Because I don't recall seeing Mark Strait on the ice for
He got the secondary assist on the goal. But
it was power play goal.
Power play goal.
So what was it? It was Hoffman banks it in. Incredible start. Less than a minute.
48 seconds.
48 seconds.
Immediately, the opposing media starts making jokes about, oh, they're just going to lock it down for like 19 and a half minutes. Can't wait for this boring thing. And then Mathot scores. Twitter.
Is it media? If it's other people, ignore it.
It's other people. Mathot, pinball shot goes
second
in.
Second one.
I think Brassard was next. And then,
Zach Smith.
And then a super wraparound by Smith.
Oh, that wraparound was sad. I was going, he's not getting. Yeah, it's in.
And that Chase Fleury. So, what was that like to be at that game, man?
It was great.
Right where down in your end. I was at home watching on TV.
Look at this fake fan.
I take it.
That's why it doesn't sell out, because Canuck doesn't go.
Because fandom is entirely dependent on socioeconomic status, clearly.
Absolutely.
I had family responsibilities.
Sunday. that was the loudest this place has ever been.
There were a lot of people commenting on that.
Like on the third goal, we just started laughing.
In fact, it was so loud, Don Cherry had to tell people to shut up during the segment.
During Coach's Corner. Well, that was because they were all around. They were doing Coach's Corner from the box with the Dodge truck.
Well, that's not the fans' fault, folks.
Well, no,
if you can't give yourself noise-canceling headphones,
there was ongoing shouting of Go Sense Go, and it was continuous.
I know.
Because it was in the hallways and you can hear it.
No, they were right out in front. No,
it was everywhere.
Well, no, but I mean, they were right out in front.
You know how the fan decks
right next
to it there?
I don't know if you saw. No, I guess you might not have seen that tweet, but people were chanting in the washroom, so I couldn't go anymore.
So you couldn't go anymore?
People are talking to me.
You do have some interesting issues.
I also still don't understand how guys can stand at the urinal without using their hands. Just be a fire hose for me. I'm sorry. I don't get it.
Wow, we've really digressed.
We're not talking about a game. We're talking about practice.
I guess you can practice that. It's going to make a mess.
Oh, you practice on the snow.
House cleaner is not going to be happy with me.
Practice on the snow. Write your name. In cursive, if necessary.
But yeah, in comes Matt Murray. So it's like, okay.
Hasn't played in...
6 weeks.
6 weeks since he hurt in the warm-up of game 1, round 1.
And the fans were just... That was probably the loudest point, too, when they chased Fleury, right?
Because they gave him time and they're not playing any music or anything?
And, yeah, well, Alex did not play any music at all. So all I could hear is the fans going nuts.
It was ear-piercing. It hurt.
Why wasn't he playing music? Just because?
Because he knew it was a good moment.
Oh, okay.
Why interfere this with some music when people are going nuts?
As you wish.
It was incredible.
And then Pittsburgh
just
still did.
Like, I was laughing at home. I couldn't believe this is happening.
And then Pittsburgh didn't do anything for the rest of that period at all. No,
they were trying.
There's a lot of pressure. But
in fact, after the first goal, there was a lot of pressure.
We figured them out and we schooled it.
Now, the question will be whether we can do this again in game four. Or
agreed.
If they figured out the figure out.
And I'm sure they have. But
I don't know, because it looks like they're going back to Fleury, which I think you have to.
Yeah.
Perfect. I don't know if that's all on Fleury. Maybe the last goal for sure.
He kicked one in.
That was a pinball that went off another player's foot into his, like, behind his
pad. I think that was Ottawa exposing their D.
Listen, when Mark Methot scores a goal and an assist in a game, you're not doing very well.
No, he's just got an excellent partner, that's all. Who played a time on ice low of only 22 minutes a game.
Oh, did he? Fantastic.
I think so. I'd have to look it up.
Fantastic.
I thought I read that.
You know how useful that'll be?
Well, that's, you know, rest is a weapon, right?
That's exactly. Pittsburgh's practicing, I believe, at Ottawa U out of all places.
Well, it's a beautiful facility. Carlton, oh, it's gorgeous. It? Okay. No, at the U of O one. It's newer than.
Where is that?
King, right on the corner of King Edward and Mann, I think.
I know where it is.
Yeah.
Where's my local reference there?
Nice.
Because I think that they're doing that just to keep the ice good. Good being the proper word.
There we go. Well, that was a recipe for disaster, 30-degree weather and humidity and
there trying to play a hockey game. Many
What was the temperature like in the building?
It was cold at the beginning, but as soon as
people get in.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I saw people on Twitter complaining that they were going to be going to a hockey game in shorts and sandals or shorts and flip-flops, and I went, isn't that the perfect way to go?
Were they complaining or just mentioning it?
They were bitching about the fact, well, I have to wear shorts because it's so hot. That's a very good thing. Yeah.
It's a very good thing.
Because I love doing that at preseason games in September or even into October, as long as it's a half-decent day, because I like wearing shorts and sandals. I wear them till it snows, usually.
Yeah, I'm glad in this game, too, that Turris got a goal, a beauty goal, between him and Hoffman.
That was a nice follow.
On Murray, because now they don't have that thing in their head, well, we never got one on Murray. You know.
Yeah.
True 100% enough.
Agree.
True enough.
100% agree.
Just trying to pull
Alex
up
Burrows got hurt on this.
And he went off with no
it
weight.
Did not look good.
He's done. He's got to be done.
No, he's fine.
He seems to be okay, actually.
Yeah.
He's getting time for tomorrow. Ish.
Yeah, I doubt it. He's done for the season. He's got to be.
It didn't
look unless
I didn't really know what happened. It looked like an ankle twist or something.
Yeah. Unless he's just so cautious that he did not want to put any weight on it. He just was one-footing it to the bench. In fact, I kept saying to the TV, are you guys going to help him to the bench? But no one was looking at him at that time.
The ice time was actually pretty well spread out.
Yeah, they did a real good job at that. Carlson's at 22-28.
Thank goodness.
Phaneuf was 21-31.
CC at 22-36
to lead. Methot. Awesome. So
Clayson?
CC makes me so friggin' nervous.
How many minutes did Clayson have?
Clayson Weidman was not good.
14, Weidman 15, looks 12, looking 12. A little
oh
weak.
Oh my
there.
Goodness. If and when Borowiecki is going to be ready, and it looks like that's going to be any day now,
no.
Take Weidman out.
He's not going to be anywhere close to ready.
No, they said mid this.
What happened?
They said series. That. Then somebody actually watched him try and skate.
Really? No. Not ready.
High ankle sprain. Oh. You know, the thing that takes longer to heal than a bone fracture? That. So, yeah. No, he's not coming back. Not this series.
It's too bad. The system misses him.
Chris Weidman needs to take his.
Well, he could
did
put
you
Harper
see
back in.
Mark Stone lay out a guy
Weidman
on the blue
Harper
line?
Would,
but because that would put Harper on his wrong hand.
Yeah, because he's not great on the left.
Did you guys see Mark Stone lay out the guy on the blue line?
You know what the funny part was about that? Was that he missed his timing.
Yep.
Stopped himself to not take an interference penalty and then fell over. So great. I love it. Malkin and Daly like just running into each other.
Well, that was bad.
There was another one too. There was a second one where they just absolutely hammered onto each other.
Yeah, yeah, that's the one.
It was, okay. But there was two community. There was two violent collisions that they showed on the highlights on the Sports Den, I think it was.
Of penguins running into each other?
There was, I saw that, but there was a second one. I don't remember the second
one. I don't remember that one either. But I saw that. I'm like, oh, perfect. This is great for like a 4-on-2 breakout. And they did a 3-on-2. I was like, what are they doing? It's like, all right, you've got Malkin behind everyone. Got it. Brilliant.
Might be a problem. Oops. Well, it would be good. Oh, sorry, behind ours. Yeah, fair enough. That would work. So, that was a good one. So, everybody enjoyed that game.
Very impressed. Wow. Not much to really change.
And suddenly, the Ottawa Senators, the highest scoring team out of all the Canadian teams.
And the last time...
I know. We've played three games. But
the last time Ottawa scored, had a goal differential of +4 in a game was...
Last season? February
18th or something?
I think it was actually January against the Islanders. It was 6-2.
Wow.
We don't do this very often.
That was the first game where we could actually kind of like, we can kind of relax. Can we relax? We can relax, right?
And that's, are we okay? That's the fine-tuning stuff that we can look at for next season. Granted, we're 2-1 against the Pittsburgh Penguins with two home games left.
They've got one goal per game. Holy crap.
Yeah. I don't want to jinx that, but we have limited the Pittsburgh Penguins to one goal a game.
Anderson is Craig looking Anderson, sharp.
In the last episode, we said Craig Anderson's been okay.
Mm-hmm.
We need him to be better. This is exactly what we needed. Because if he played like he played in the previous round,
it would be six goals
be
for over. Them.
It'd be done. Because he made some key saves yesterday.
He did.
Like, sure, it's 5-1, and it's a boring game, if you want to call it that, because nothing is happening. Pittsburgh could have scored at least 4.
Yep. He had some very, very really big saves. Good saves. Very big
Huge saves.
I'm getting tired of that narrative, too. When you watch football and, you know, a team shuts down a high offense with some brilliant defense. You don't hear other people. You don't hear the league saying, well, "That's boring, boring." But like, somehow we shut down Pittsburgh. They're boring.
That narrative is fed by the national media.
Fed by the tears of Blue Leaf fans.
Their bread and butter is Toronto Maple Leafs fans. That's why they're simply catering to them because that's their bread and butter.
And they don't have the local broadcasting rights because if they did, I am sure it would be different.
Even TSN does it to a certain extent. And TSN does.
A little bit, yep. A little pander to their audience, depending on the show.
Depending on the show.
They're not going to, they never negatively talk about the Sens to this level.
To this level, no. But there's not the love fest that there is for, you know, 5 shots a game of Austin Matthews' parents.
Hmm. Yeah.
Why do I care? Why would I care what his mother's reacting like? Oh, I got to go back to another look at his parents. Why? Who cares? Then again, I was going to say, this is the same media group that have brought Dart Guy to the fore. So,
can we all just admit that
we have Senator,
all of those Hockey Night in Canada announcers?
We have Jonathan Petra.
We have Jonathan Petra too, yeah.
All those announcers on Hockey Night in Canada are terrible.
They're not good.
Bob Cole's too old. He can't keep up. He wasn't so anti-Ottawa in that series against Boston, but he just couldn't keep up.
He did a great job against
Paul Romanek. I will admit this. He was not as bad as the year before with 2 years before with the Montreal Canadiens.
But he's just very, very wrong.
But he
misses things. He doesn't know.
He's not a good play-by-play guy, period, full
and
stop.
And Jim Houston, I know he's their marquee guy, is boring. You want to talk about boring?
And he's certainly not pumping the tires of the last Canadian team left in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
No. Pittsburgh.
Well, Canada's team is apparently Pittsburgh.
He's Sid Told and Gino. You that. Sid Told and Gino.
Yeah, he's very pro Pittsburgh.
Sid the kid. Like, dude, he's not a kid anymore.
Yeah, he's 27, 8, somewhere in there.
87.
He's 87.
Yes. Holy crap, he's 30.
He's turning 30 this year.
Wow.
You know what that means? Only 5 years left with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
You think he'll finish his career somewhere else?
No.
Or he'll
just that the franchise will fold because people will stop going to the game. And Mario's going to try to sell high real soon because he is already looking to get out.
But nobody wants to buy it.
Oh, is there's no buyer for it?
Not at the moment. Hey, Gary, if nobody wants to buy the Pittsburgh Penguins, why are you trying to make
because
your team?
Because I think people also know that it's overvalued right now because it all depends on Crosby.
True.
That said, I am very, very excited to see that building. It yes. is a very good building.
It I have heard it is. I don't know much. I don't
yeah,
know.
No, I think it should be probably really top five in the league.
I really wanted to be in the old one. I always wanted to get to a game at the old building.
At the Igloo?
Just watch that movie, what? Sudden Death. Can you get a tour of it?
Yeah. Being a visiting fan, looking at the Igloo, it's like, man, this should be neat. Eh? You just see an Igloo in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
Being a local, it's like the freaking Igloo.
But it was actually designed to have a retractable roof. Like Skydome.
Well, what's the point of that?
Because it was supposed, well, for events other than hockey. It was designed to be a multi-use center for anything from a symphony onward. So, open the roof.
And did it actually open?
A few times. Then it didn't work. The
engine. They broke it?
Yeah, kind of.
Now I want to go back and watch that Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, Sudden Death, again.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, when
I think they opened it a few times. It was originally supposed to be able to do that, and it was built to do that. And I think they opened it a few times. But
like, you know, when you're driving by on Hunt Club and it's that internal golf course thing?
The giant slug?
That deflated?
Yeah.
It's reinflated.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, this is going to be fun. But when you drive by that thing every day, it's like,
it's an eyesore. Exactly.
Such an eyesore. Yeah, you're right.
It's a functional building. It's not supposed to be pretty. It's an inflatable building.
Right. So think of the Igloo.
The Canadian Tire Center is not all that attractive when you drive by it every day.
I think it's fine.
You don't drive by it every day.
No, but still, even when I'm passing by
it. I don't mind it. Because it's not dominating the downtown it's not skyline.
That's exactly. It's not a dominant.
Well, it's the only thing on the skyline except for the pile of garbage nearby. And I'm not talking about Toronto.
It's 5 hours down the road.
Exactly. I don't know. I guess I when they were building the Palladium, as it was then, I was actually living on Briar and commuting back and forth every day. So I drove by it every single day. I was watching them building it almost piece by piece.
You notice Eugene Melnyk's taking a lot of pictures. They catch him on TV with his phone of the arenas. I wonder if he's, I don't know what he's doing, but I kind of wonder if he's actually seeing things and getting ideas.
I like that. I like this. I like this.
Right.
Eugene Melnyk has started to follow bloggers, not us though. But
that's all right.
Well, we'll wish him a muppy something.
It's interesting. I think this is Anselmi.
Yeah.
Look at what they're saying.
Absolutely.
Especially if you follow Sense Chirp, you're going to get a good pulse of.
Yep.
Of the fans.
Reasonably, yeah. I always get Sense Chirp and Sixth Sense mixed up.
Don't.
Total difference.
Exactly, but I get them mixed
Sense
up in my
Chirp
own mind.
Sense Chirp is very positive.
I would say he's very realistic. I wouldn't necessarily say positive.
He's realistic, but he's also very optimistic.
Yeah, optimistic, but not over, like, not pie in the sky.
And he's not going to nitpick everything that you do.
Mm-mm. True. No.
The other guy's just negative.
So we just need to find a little hook for Eugene there. That's all. Got to find the right hook. Send the right hook. Send something clever. Something.
What about that other series?
I haven't really watched it.
Watched a lot, but
I've watched a little bit. I've been catching it when I've been driving in the evening.
It looks dirty.
It's interesting.
Yeah, okay.
Listening to it on the radio, it's actually the Boston Bruins radio guy.
Yes.
Calling really? It. Yeah. Yeah. For some reason, he's doing that. The national broadcast for that series is the Boston guy. And it's really interesting hearing him not doing his own team because he can be positive about both, for want of a better term. And it's pretty good. As a radio call, it's pretty good. I mean, you get into it while you're driving along. It's almost a little too distracting, but it's been an entertaining series so
now,
far.
Now, for Cardinal, for your own sanity,
you'd
better hope that Nashville wins. Is if we play Anaheim and you don't like what the stuff between the whistles happens.
Oh yeah, Anaheim. Malkin, it's Anaheim. Yeah.
You're not going to survive it.
See, Russ and I were talking about that today.
You will not survive it.
Russ and I were talking today. Okay, out of the four teams that are left vying for the Stanley Cup, it's obvious which one I will be cheering for.
Right.
Yes.
But of the other three,
yep,
it's Pittsburgh.
Been done. Twice.
Yeah, bored with
that. That's boring.
Bored with that
That's
narrative.
That's boring.
Exactly. Bored with that narrative. On the other side of the coin, Anaheim.
Reunion of 10 years ago. somewhat interesting.
Goon Squad.
You got Bobby Ryan versus Silverberg, but.
Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
But it's been.
And Nashville. God, I have to cheer for PK Subban.
But
I Mike get to Fisher. Cheer for Mike Fisher.
Mike Fisher.
Which evens it out. Yeah. Which evens it out. So it's okay.
So, and I know.
I'd really like to play Nashville.
I don't want to get a whole ahead of ourselves.
No.
No.
There are three reasons that I want Nashville to continue on.
It's not Anaheim.
That's actually okay.
It's someone new.
So there's that one.
It's someone new.
No, it's one. If we go through to the next round, and Nashville goes through to the next round, we get home ice.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it?
Because we have four more points than they do.
Did we win the first game?
It's not head to head
New York. No, I'm just thinking the first two series where we did have home ice. We lost the first game of the first series to Boston.
We won the two against New York.
We won the two against New York. Okay. Boston. Fair enough.
Now, Nashville right now is they're undefeated at home.
At home, yeah. They're playing very well at home.
So
should be starting about now, shouldn't they?
So,
yeah, maybe. Yeah. 20 minutes ago.
So, one, we get home ice, which also means that we could get to see a game seven.
Were there
of
to be
a
one.
Stanley Cup Finals?
Were there to be one? Yeah.
Holy hell, that would be something else.
I'd be hammered by noon.
Two, even if we make it or not, and still lose, or let's say if Nashville were to win it, Mike Fisher, who is probably done after this year, would win the cup,
which I'd be good with.
Number three, if Nashville wins the cup. PK Subban wins the cup the year that he was traded for Shea Weber, which I think is hilarious.
Which would be just a...
And I do like PK Subban. I hate playing against him.
I like...
Like, he might spin this on me in the first 10 minutes of a game.
He will. He will.
And he will.
See, he's like Sidney Crosby for me. I respect his hockey skills. I don't like him.
He's an enigma, that's for sure.
They are...
No, you don't really like what he does on the ice either.
No, I respect his hockey skills. I always have.
With the slash on stone in the playoffs?
Hockey skills. That's not skill.
No, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I respect his hockey skills. Think I'm not fond of his character.
Rachel. Whatever.
I'm specific about these things.
And you have so connections to a place to stay.
And I have somewhere to stay in Nashville.
In Nashville? Oh.
Yeah.
And with that extra week, I don't have to pay $800 for a return flight. Like I do for Sunday.
Oh, because it's far enough out, you mean?
Yeah.
Eight C notes to fly to Pittsburgh overnight. Or are you flying down?
So I'm flying out Sunday morning and I arrive back Tuesday morning.
And the game is on
Sunday.
My boss asks, I'm working on Saturday.
You're flying?
Sunday at 3, I arrive Sunday at 10 a.m.
Oh, you're on Sunday.
And you're not flying back on Monday, you're flying back on Tuesday.
I had to fly back Tuesday to save me another like $300.
See, I would have said, hop on the train in Philadelphia, fly up to some layer like New York and fly home from there. Super easy. The train is really good up the east.
No, I know. I've been on the train.
Yeah. The Acelas are brilliant.
But, I didn't even think of that. Time is precious.
Well, he's hoping to see the last of Flower.
That's not a pun.
Apropos of what? Where did that come from?
Azalea?
What?
Acela.
Oh, as I said, the Azaleas.
I'm pronouncing that correctly. The Amtrak Azalea. It's the trains that are sort of Boston, New York.
You just ruined my joke, man.
No, your joke. Your joke. I'm not harshing your buzz, man.
Canuck, it's been half a decade. You don't have any. It's kind of the dad
on that
joke
bombshell. On that bombshell, who wants to read an email? Because we got one to read.
Yeah, email.
We got one to read there. I was wrong. I thought we had two. We only have one. Oops.
Just for Marin?
Yeah. Go ahead. You read it.
I'll read it. Since I brought this on myself.
Because it means I don't have to.
Got an email from Aaron in Sweden. Oh, my God. God meaning Thor, of course. Not that Jesus fatherly God thing you guys got going on. Not only do you confuse your fellow Swedish Sens fan with each other... There are at least like 10 of us, and we're all unique snowflakes. But you also mock us with racial slurs through a Wayne's World-like pronunciation of Swedish words?
Okay, just...
Who did that?
That was Canuck.
That was me.
We had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, okay, so he, not you, he.
Blatantly racist.
He's teasing. I can tell the way he goes on and does a whole Wayne's World skit, which I'm not going to try. But I also bring that on. Yeah, if I'm going to do the Swedish chef to you, I fully expect you to do your best Canadian accent back.
Boot. Going to talk about boots. No, 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 boot it. Give me a break.
So, how's he feeling? Confused and a bit giddy. The Sens are up 2-1 in the series, and the 5-1 win was just amazing. Amazing to watch. Amazing. Incredible. I'm a bit worried, though. First of all, because I'm starting to get my hopes up.
Yeah.
And I'm not comfortable with that.
No.
And because Burrow seems to be close to game ready again, if Coach Boucher decides what Burrow would, if he's ready to play, it's most likely at the expense of Clayson. Clayson's been doing pretty well. And while the other level of hockey sense has a better level of hockey sense than Burrow, Clayson is also a big guy. And even if he doesn't build his game around hitting like Burrow does, he has a good physical game going on. Do you think Burrow will return? Is he fit again? Or does Boucher keep the successful D pairings intact?
If Burrow is ready, Burrow comes in.
I think so.
I think so.
I think he's part of the system.
The question will be.
He totally is.
Do you leave Weidman on the right, or do you move Clayson over to play that right side?
Get Weidman the hell off the ice.
Weidman looks nervous.
Well, then who so who are you going to put over there?
You have to put Clayson.
I would think so, but that puts Clayson, unfortunately, on the
offside. Doesn't matter. He's better than Weidman.
I missed a PS here.
Much better than Weidman.
Hey, sorry?
He signs off Aaron from northeast coastal Sweden. Not Chris from Stockholm. Not the other Swede living in Norway. The other one. And none of the ever seven, other seven Swedish.
This is what happens at the arena when I run into the other Asian guy. Because I'm the Asian guy. And we actually lock eyes. It's like, no, you're the other one. It's this weird internal battle that we have amongst each other.
Keyword there was weird. It is. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
I don't have these things. I don't have this sort of conflict with other people.
And it actually...
Although I do apparently have a doppelganger in Montreal who looks almost exactly like me, which I thought was odd. Because yep. I've had twice now in the past 5 years.
You have a doppelganger who plays the organ at Sens games too.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
The organ, the Sens organs,
Eric.
Organ guy?
Yeah.
Looks just like you.
Really? I've never noticed, so... Yeah. No, but apparently there is somebody in Montreal who looks so much like me that two people in the past 5 years who've been in Montreal walked up and started talking to them, and they were apparently unilingual francophone, number one. And désolé, je ne suis pas ce que vous pensez. Oh, so goodbye. And then they run away.
Thank you for the email, Aaron.
Yes, thank you.
And by the way, the other Swede who's in Stockholm that he referenced, Chris, has been staying up and watching the hockey
games. Yeah, yes, he fell asleep for last night's
Although game. He didn't make it through last game, so I said, okay, you're relieved. You don't have to stay up.
Did he say he missed the first two hours?
He missed the first 2 hours, but he didn't get up for the end of it.
So he got up for nothing.
So he missed all the good stuff, unfortunately. And a thank you out to CB Inc., who sent us a link. CB Inc., would it be okay if I was to post that link in the forums?
I think so. He encouraged it.
Did he? Oh, I didn't read it there. Oh, yeah, check it. Okay. There he found this website called Mapfling, which I've never heard of.
No. And
great.
And mapped out all the people who had, because I keep saying that I'm going to be putting a map on this wall behind you that I still haven't done yet. I've been busy too. And he said, well, he went to Mapfling and mapped everybody out, I guess, by listening to that episode over again. So very cool. I actually was having fun playing around with that map. I was like, oh. Okay, very neat. It is still on my list of things to do, and once I get it done, we'll take a picture of it with map indicators on. If you're a listener from somewhere else in the world, feel free to
just
still let us know.
Just let us know where you
are. Yeah, just literally drop us a line. Hi, it's so-and-so, and I live in blah, blah, blah. Okay, now we're going to get an email from somebody saying, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I live in blah, blah, blah. It's a suburb of Saint-Louis-de-Haha,
exactly.
which one of the radio hosts... JR. Yeah, one of the radio hosts on the morning show in Ottawa... was driving to somewhere in New Brunswick to drop his daughter off. Campbellton. And on his way back, posted a brilliant tweet. There was a picture for the exit off the highway for Saint-Louis-de-Haha.
Yep.
And the comment with it was something along the lines of, even Quebecers find the blues to be pathetic at times or something like that. It was well done. Yes. Why are you showing me this picture?
It's sunset right now or tonight.
Oh, that's going to be worse. That light.
I think just with the humidity and everything.
Red sky at night.
It's, well, that light tells me that there is quite the storm coming. Yeah. 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 So
thunder.
Okay. So we'll wrap this show up so I can get back downtown. I don't want to be caught in hail. Thank you very much. With weather like this, it's entirely possible we could have hail. I don't need that. So I'll get my car parked inside ASAP. Anything else? Week to come.
So tomorrow being Friday, May 19th.
The most important game of the year?
Penguins. No, not yet. Penguins at Senators. It is very important, though. Actually, no, you know what?
It is the most important game up to now.
Because whoever's going to win this will probably win the series.
Probably.
Can't say.
So Pens at Senators, 8 p.m. Eastern. Oops. Next game, 3 p.m. on the weekend. I think we've been doing okay with those. Senators at Pittsburgh. I'm there.
Where's your seats?
I haven't bought them yet.
No.
That's the last thing to do. So also with that, it's just like, well, do I buy them tonight because I'm trying to coordinate with other people that are going down?
Well, just get them at face value. They're going to
or
be face
hope
value.
To God that Ottawa wins tomorrow.
And get second
and
in.
And crush their spirits.
Oh, so people are bailing on them, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Sunday in Pittsburgh, next game, Tuesday, May 23rd. Pittsburgh at Senators, if required.
Hopefully not.
Also at 8 o'clock. I think everything's at 8 now.
Yep. And then Thursday.
And then Thursday, May 25th, would be Game 7, Senators at Pittsburgh.
Yeah, we're just
hopefully
we'll
be back before then, I would assume.
Well, probably. Depending. It depends on whether you get across the border back and forth easily. That's all.
I should be fine.
Pansburg. Hashtag Pansburg.
Couple of quick little, I just take pictures of tweets that I find might be interesting. So Matt Cullen is the only player who has played for, I just got a phone call from Ohio. I don't think so. Matt Cullen is the only player left in the playoffs who's played for all four of the remaining teams.
Weird, eh?
That's a bit weird. A bit weird indeed. Well, that's about all that's particularly interesting out of all these, other than Gino Retta. I loved his tweet last night.
What was it?
Just to be clear, the Sens 1-3-1 stands for one goal in the first minute, three in a 2:18, and then one in the second. Did I get that right?
Well, I think TSN is starting to defend their customer.
It wouldn't be bad. And the quote of the month. I think this is honestly a quote. It has nothing to do with hockey, but I think it's brilliant. This is a political quote, actually, and it's not from U.S. It's actually Canadian. Leading a caucus is like herding cats. Dealing with the media is like giving that cat a bath. That was Rona Ambrose who said that. I laughed when I read that.
She walks right out the door.
Well, she said it as she was leaving, yeah.
Just don't let the door kick you in the ass.
Bye-bye. And one quick note before we go. Former Binghamton Senators head coach Luke Richardson has been made an assistant coach with the New York Islanders. So he'll be working with
Doug Waite.
Thank you. I can't remember the coach's name.
Guess he's not good enough to be a head coach.
Not yet. It's not uncommon for a coach to go from being the head coach in the NHL.
He wanted to be a head coach.
Yeah, he did.
Well, that you're in the NHL.
And he said that his skill set was better for a coach and an assistant coach.
Oh, well.
Take a step back. Calm down.
Yeah, it's better to be an AHL. It's better. I'd say it's better to be an assistant coach in the NHL than a head coach in the AHL. So, cool your jets. But, hey, congratulations. Well done. That's a team that can use some coaching, and it's in a bit of turmoil. So, he does.
Oh, Doug Waite did a great job.
He does good work. Well, I mean, just overall. He did a great job after he arrived there, but the team as a whole, like the whole organization, is in turmoil. So,
he
can help work with that. All right. So, we don't know when we're going to be back. Big surprise that we never do. We just show up. I had completely forgotten we were recording today until you sent me a text this morning.
It's a good thing I did.
It is a good thing you did. Otherwise, I would have been at home going, I'm supposed to be where? When? Oops.
Why?
Oops.
What?
Oh, dear.
You know what was funny is that after that dominant 5-1 win by the Senators, Don Cherry, you know, does a segment post-game. Of all the talking points he did, he decided to focus on the penalty that Hoffman took. I and that Pittsburgh scored and how that was a bad thing. Now, I agree it was a bad thing, but of all the talking points that game, you went with that, and it's like, don't you worry. That meant something to the Pittsburgh Penguins right there. That they
okay.
All right, Don. Okay.
But I did like, it was in Coach's Corner. I can't remember which game it was. I think it was game one when Hoffman started to push Fleury.
Right. I remember that.
The puck was behind the net with the Pittsburgh defenseman.
So Hoffman, brilliant. It was the
pushes
first game.
Fleury. Like in his back, because Fleury's facing the defenseman. He pushes him again. Fleury turns around. They're kind of jousting a little bit.
Puck gets turned over.
Hoffman creates a turnover and almost scores on the play.
Yep.
So Cherry's playing this in his highlights, and he's just laughing. Like he thought it was hilarious.
I must have missed that.
Which it was. Yeah.
I must have missed that.
Because Hoffman refused to chase the defenseman around the net. He was patient, and Pittsburgh, like, what the heck? I guess I got to do something.
Our system says you're supposed to chase me.
Yeah.
Oops. Oh, well.
I hope they stay in their heads.
Yeah. I hope they win. I don't care if they're in their heads.
I thought tomorrow is payday. It's not. I'm in big trouble.
You got a long way to go to payday, boy.
How's your thumb?
My thumb. Oh.
I need a ride to Pittsburgh. Actually, can you hitchhike across an international border? I'm going to go with no.
You can try. If you got your passport.
Misconduct might still have a seat in your car. Don't worry about it.
I already paid for it.
Oh, okay.
Non-refundable.
I'm committed.
No refunds.
Uh-oh. So how are you getting to Pittsburgh, by the way?
Like Air Canada.
Via?
I have to go through Pearson, which kind of sucks. But I have a four-hour gap.
It's a Sunday. It's not that bad. Yeah. I'm not trying to do it on a Monday or a Friday. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
You'll be all right.
Hopefully. And when I went to New York?
Straight from Toronto to Pittsburgh?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's not bad then. I was expecting to go through Detroit, Chicago, New York, something like that.
Yeah, that's where I don't understand what Pierre Maguire was doing because I think he ended up going Pittsburgh, Detroit, Montreal or something.
Yeah, but he did that because he wanted to get in a certain time.
He wanted to get in faster that way, going that way.
He didn't want to wait.
I don't think he knew about Porter.
Whatever.
Porter doesn't fly through
Pittsburgh, Pearson. Toronto. Well, I go to Pearson, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Ottawa.
Oh, you're not flying Pittsburgh.
Porter, I know. No. Oh. The price is too much.
Maybe he's on a budget too. Maybe NBC's on a budget.
Maybe.
Or he just wants to collect the airplane points, which will soon be useless.
I think he just wants to go to Montreal.
He wants to go to a little club down there?
Yeah, the Double S.
Maybe he's just hankering for a bagel.
Yeah. A smoked meat sandwich at Schwartz's and some bagels from Fairmont or San Vietar.
Something that kind of looks like a bagel.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and just move
let's
on.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, here. Let's wrap that up. Okay.
You really should.
We don't know when we'll be back. Like, that's anything new. So we'll be back at some point. You can hear about Pan's exploits in Pittsburgh. That's just
I don't think it's going to measure up to New York.
Few things do. In the meantime, folks, email us your thoughts, your questions, your whatever you want to send us, other than messages that we suck. Well, other than somebody who makes racial slurs.
As long as you just give out 5 stars, though.
Yeah, give us 5 stars. Maybe make a donation. I don't know. Whatever. You can email us at podcast@sensecallups.com. You can always contribute to the... There was a new person in the forums the other day.
I haven't been in the forums in forever.
I hadn't noticed. I didn't catch who they were because I was sort of doing a drive-by. I was in a hurry. Huh. You can leave us a message on the Versature or the waiver wire sponsored by Versature at 1-844-SCU-6565.
I just thought of something. Pan and I went to this open house that we were plugging last time.
Yes.
And, you know, you get to walk around the arena, but it was also like a chance. I think the aim of it was more for people to who weren't season ticket holders to, you know, potentially become one for next season and at the same time secure tickets to the rest of the playoffs, right?
Oh, fair enough.
Well, I was a half season ticket holder last season.
You're going to cancel.
I was not renewing. However, I went in there with, you know, a couple scenarios in mind. And sure enough, now I'm a full season ticket holder for next season.
Crazy, eh?
The sucker punch worked.
Probably the best two seats in the entire arena on the 300 level.
Oh?
Yep. Center ice, dead center.
Ah, very nice.
You're paying more than me now.
Now, so whereabouts? What row?
308.
A.
Oh, row A.
Center ice.
I don't mean center ice, like, you know, kind of near. I mean, like,
no,
on the
red line.
Wow.
Like, yeah.
There. They're good seats.
Nice.
You look up and the scoreboard's right there in front of you.
Nice.
You're close.
Do we seriously
so have- I cannot go to 40 games. I cannot go to 20 games. I do a lot of ticket trades. So if any listeners are interested in going to a game, maybe reach out to me on Twitter or something like that, because I might be able to help you
for free.
But that'll be sometime during the summer or next year, not right now.
Not now.
You don't have them.
Next year.
Now we're going to get bombarded. Yeah, you got some free tickets, man. I heard you got some like tickets and stuff.
Well, you know, I'm not in this business to make money. It's, you know, I like to cover my cost at least.
You're just jealous of Kevin Lee.
Does he actually make money?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I can't imagine.
I don't know how he does that.
I have no idea. All right.
Yeah, I just want to cut even.
Yeah, exactly. And give yourself the opportunity for tickets to the match and so on. Makes perfect sense. Anything else? No? All right. I'm Cardinal on behalf of Panic Canuck. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back sometime in the next little while, as usual. Good night. Buy a jumbo check. It wasn't easy, but nothing is. No. When I feel heavy metal, and I feel heavy metal. Gotta get your take on this. The Canadian Tire Center in Kanata, we know it's not downtown, but it's the conference final. And it's not sold out. What do you make of that?
Don't get me going. It's so frustrating to see a guy who's so proud of his sport and loves the National Hockey League as much as it does to not know that a conference final game is not sold out. You know, shame on the fans. They're acting like they get to the conference finals, have a chance for a Stanley Cup year after year.